You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan ring website, the Locked On Wolves Twitter account, that's Locked On T-Wolves, at Locked On T-Wolves, and my Twitter account, of course, at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. For all podcasts, you can also check out prior podcasts on those sites, as well as some written content about Timberwolves happenings and goings on, and a lot of draft content, too. Tons of draft content coming out, which reminds me, make sure to check out the Locked On NBA podcast. We have done a really cool mock draft between all 30 of the hosts. I guess there's not really 30 because not every team gets that first-round pick, especially with Atlanta hogging so many first-round picks. But a ton of NBA hosts from the Locked On Network coming together making a mock draft, and it was all kind of judged every pick going from the first to the 30th, judged by Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. So check that out. Really cool mock draft there on Locked On NBA, and we've been doing a great job getting you ready for the NBA draft, which is happening tonight. And now we're going to be taking a step back, being a little more reminiscent of NBA draft past for the Timberwolves, and here to help be reminiscent of past drafts for the Timberwolves, my good buddy Seth Tobol. We've done tons of crossover podcasts. Now he's coming on the Locked On Wolves show today to help remind us what the Timberwolves' history has been like, some of the highs from the Timberwolves' history on draft day, and kind of hopefully that gives some good juju to the Timberwolves on this draft. So thanks for joining the show.
What up? Hey, thanks for having me back on. Like you said, we've had a chance to do a lot of collaborative work, and always happy to hop on other shows and just talk some Timberwolves.
Absolutely. An exciting day, too, for the Timberwolves. 20th pick overall. I think that there's a lot of really great talent at the top of this draft, but I think there's some really great role player talent just throughout the draft. I think I was talking with Lucas Han of the Eclipse Nation blog on SB Nation, and we were just noticing how this seems like the draft where maybe there's not 20 starters on this draft, but there's probably going to be like 15 to 20 guys who for the next 8 years are going to be really significant role players on a lot of teams at the very least. And so I feel like there's like four or five guys in this draft that the Timberwolves could take who are going to give them 18 to 25 really solid minutes.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. This draft has a lot of depth, and for a Wolves team who has their starting five pretty well locked in, you're just looking to fill some spots on the bench. Jamal Crawford will no longer be a part of the Wolves after he declined his player option. He'll be a free agent, so that's a spot you have to fill. Not necessarily a guaranteed thing that Nemanja Bjelica returns to this Wolves team. So there are a couple of spots on the bench that are going to be up for grabs, and you look at some of these shooters throughout the draft, plenty of names and plenty of players who, like you said, could just come in and fill a role, hit some threes. Other than that, I think a lot of great options, and it's going to be really interesting to see which direction the Wolves end up going with some of these guys still on the board at 20.
I want to talk about the top three Timberwolves draft days in your opinion. But before we get to that, just really quick, if the Timberwolves trade up to get that fourth pick and they take on the Chandler Parsons deal, is there going to be anything saving you from the raise that ensues, or would you actually like grabbing the fourth pick?
You know, that's a really interesting argument, because we've talked, you and I have talked plenty of times about just what Andrew Wiggins can do to try to retain his value after a pretty down season last year. And The rumor is that Memphis is offering up the fourth overall pick, pairing it with Chandler Parsons, and that we would need to give up Andrew Wiggins in order to get that deal. And that certainly is a move, I think, that might work out better in the long term if the Wolves decide to go that way. The interesting thing about this is you've got a coach in Tom Thibodeau who not only wants to win now, that's his preference, is to win now off of a 47-win season. You want to try to at least match that and maybe go above it. So the likelihood of them doing a deal like that with Thibodeau not only wanting to win now, but also with the reality that his job could be on the line if they stumble at all this year. I think he would rather keep Andrew Wiggins, but in terms of kind of the aftermath of what happens if they were to make that sort of a trade, I would be in favor because that's an awful lot of money that the Wolves have invested in Wiggins, and it just seems like we kind of already know what sort of player we have, whereas with that fourth overall pick, you bring in a guy similar to when they brought in Karl-Anthony Towns, and you can bring in a player who seemingly has an endless ceiling, and then you pair those two together, and that's really exciting, at least from my perspective. But is it likely? Probably not. Would I be in favor of it? Probably yes.
Yeah, it is definitely the launch. Just looking at the Bleacher Report story on who the Memphis Grizzlies are looking to trade back to and the Timberwolves are on that list, but it does seem like sometimes on draft day anything is possible, and yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about taking on the Chandler Parsons deal anyway. But let's get into what we're supposed to be talking about, the subject matter. I want to talk and be reminiscent of what the Timberwolves have done on draft day, and we've been talking about this topic for a couple of days. Not super hard to narrow it down to like three or four things, is it?
No, there's a very small list of good. There's a much longer list of things that have gone wrong, whether it be making the wrong pick or another kind of interesting angle, Colton, that I looked at in a piece that'll be dropping for On the Prowl today. Got to do the shameless plug. Just looking at draft classes where the Wolves have come up short, like they've been the third team with two really solid options. So you see players taken before and you think, man, what would that have been like to come away with Shaquille O'Neal or Alonzo Mourning? There's no shortage of interesting arguments, both negative and positive, but I like us focusing on the positive here to try to, as you said, bring that those good vibes to the Wolves as they draft tonight.
Exactly. I want to focus on the good and set people out in the right mood today. Hopefully, if you're listening to the podcast in the morning, you're all jazzed up for the draft by the time it comes around tonight. And speaking of a good feeling, talk about the first overall pick if you have to draft the top three best things to have in the Timberwolves on draft day. And it's got to go, you got to go back to 1995. I don't really think they get too much of a pushback from me on this. Kevin's on that, right? To have him be on the team for 12 seasons and be so good every single season, go to 12 straight, I believe it was 12 straight, all NBA All-Star games, 12 of his 13, or 15 with the Timberwolves, and to grab that 2004 MVP of the league with the Timberwolves and get them to so many playoff berths and then make that deep run that year that he did make the MVP run. That was all possible because of Kevin Garnett. He wasn't one of those deep players that he was like a piece that fit into a good team. He was the piece. And for a lot of years, he was the only piece on the Timberwolves. And so 1995, Kevin Garnett getting selected in the first round, and he was the fifth overall pick in that draft. That's got to be the first pick, right, for as far as good things with the Timberwolves on draft day.
I would fully agree with that. You talk about Garnett's body of work when he was with the Timberwolves. Not only did he have all of the accolades that you mentioned, but he pretty much single-handedly put Minnesota on the map as a basketball destination. The team, you know, having just come into the league in 1989, so they were still in their infancy. And for them to be able to come away with a player of Garnett's caliber, I think was a really interesting mix to have the maturation of both Garnett and the evolution of the Timberwolves franchise both going on at the same time. And I don't think there is any Wolves fan, past or present, who is not familiar with Kevin Garnett. On some level, maybe not having seen him play for the Wolves for the younger generations, and for some of the older generations, he may have been the player that you most came to root for when he played for the Wolves. So regardless of how things played out with not being able to get to the NBA Finals with the Timberwolves and then being traded to Boston, Kevin Garnett's time with the Timberwolves was some of the most dominant basketball from a player perspective that you'll ever see. And yeah, that is a very fitting start to the list with the franchise player being picked back in 1995. Just an unbelievable career for Garnett, and was really, really glad to be able to have seen him play the most of his prime with the Timberwolves.
I was actually born 1995. My first basketball memories are when I was 6 years old watching Kevin Garnett play for the Timberwolves. That was my first NBA game too. Was going in 2001 to a Knicks Timberwolves game watching Kevin Garnett play. So I was instilled a basketball love early on because of Kevin Garnett. And so the Timberwolves and Kevin Garnett will always have a special place in my heart for that alone.
Yeah, for sure. I know there are a lot of players that a lot of fans that have emulated, you know, the clap in the chalk that Garnett did before games started. And just the intensity as well. Like if you're playing one on one with somebody and you're on defense, there are few players other than Kevin Garnett that you're going to emulate to try to get a stop defensively. And that has just become synonymous with everybody in the league who plays good defense. They kind of get that comparison to back in Garnett's prime.
Absolutely, and it's a prime that people should forever remember. We're going to keep going with this list. First, we're going to take a quick break for some sponsors. Reminiscing about the Timberwolves drafts and the top three Timberwolves drafts over the course of their history, getting you ready and getting you in the mindset for hopefully what will be another good Timberwolves draft tonight. But first, we got to get through a couple of these. We just went over the Kevin Garnett being the first really great moment, the number one overall pick as far as really great moments for the Timberwolves on draft night. Number two, I think, might be a little controversial here because, by the way, we're not going to talk about how the Timberwolves traded Ray Allen the following year after drafting Kevin Garnett. We're not going to talk about that because it's about the good things the Timberwolves have done on draft night. My second one is, and this might be controversial, 2015 Carl Anthony Towns, number one overall. I really think that he's going to be going to the All-Star game a lot more times in a Timberwolves jersey as long as we can make him on the extension. But I think he'll be going to the All-Star game a lot more times as a Timberwolf. And I think that this could end up being one of those franchise-making players. You already saw him make that kind of turnaround this last season defensively and do some really great things on offense. He had the 56-point game against the Atlanta Hawks. He was averaging the double-double all season. I know that this is going to have some controversy with what happened last season on draft day, but Towns being drafted number one is the second best thing that's happened for the Timberwolves on a draft day. What say you?
Interesting. I can't wait to hear what number one is then. Let's look, Colton, at how things played out for that 2015 draft. The Wolves found out that they were getting the number one pick. That certainly was a huge moment for this turnaround. Flip Saunders, I remember the clips of him just being ecstatic when they found out that they were getting the number one overall pick. Then we go through that weird kind of rumor stage leading up to the draft, in which we weren't sure if they were going to go with Karl-Anthony Towns or if they were going to go with Jahlil Okafor. And it seemed like there was steam on both sides of that coin. Then, of course, they take Karl-Anthony Towns, and now we get the fortune of watching a player similar to Kevin Garnett, not as gifted defensively as Garnett was, but you look at what he's able to do offensively, just so much poise down low, and just such a good ability to finish, but also the range, the ability to hit threes and just cause nightmares defensively for opposing teams because of having to have their big, who may not be as mobile or as rangy, out guarding Cat on the three-point line. That just causes some nightmares for teams trying to match up. But a guy who I think we would both agree, we still could be seeing plenty of things added to Towns' game, which is very exciting because you've got a young player who you don't really know what his ceiling is. His floor right now is a really, really good player. And his ceiling, I think, could be something that makes him one of the best in the league, if not near the top. So I think the move paid off very well. But it was interesting that we had kind of the smoke and mirrors leading up to that pick of Towns with, do we take Okafor? Do we take Towns? I'm glad it worked out the way it did because we've seen what has happened to Okafor, as he now is essentially a backup center. But Towns has plenty of good years left. I think he has several All-NBA team selections down in his future. Plenty of All-Star appearances, as he mentioned. And maybe, like Garnett, an MVP as well at some point.
Well, and Jahlil Okafor, at this point, I'm just going to say he was eaten by the Brian Colangelo Twitter monster. And so maybe he could have been better if he was drafted by the Timberwolves. If you look at this draft, I still think Towns is the number one overall pick, even over Porzingis, just because of the injury and problems that Porzingis has had, unfortunately, for him. Just so the kids keeping track at home, Jahlil Okafor, Mario Hezonja, Willie Cauley-Stein, Stanley Johnson, Frank Kaminsky, Trey Lyles. These are all the players that got drafted before Devin Booker at 13. Not that I know what I'm talking about. Just saying that I noticed it when I was looking back at this draft. But, yeah, Towns, for me, you're absolutely right. The floor for Towns is a constant fringe all-star player who's going to average you a double-double throughout a season. The ceiling for Towns is he could be one of the best kind of unicorn centers in the NBA for the next eight to ten seasons, just because if you really figure out how to properly utilize him in all the ways he changes up your game, I think you saw it a little bit last year with him taking some games where he was taking more three-point shots. If you figure out consistently how to make him get back to the basket but also appropriately stretch the floor for the Timberwolves and really put pressure on his defense, there were times where it felt like they were doing it for the Timberwolves last year, but not consistently throughout the year. If you just figure out how to get him in the offense and get him consistently working to where he is at max versatility, he could really destroy defenses for the next 8 years. So I really like the upside for Towns, and I really like what he's going to continue to do for the Timberwolves. And speaking of what I hope players will continue to do for the Timberwolves, the toss-up here at my number three, the toss-up here was between last season getting Jimmy Butler and in 2008 getting Kevin Love. Both were trades that happened on draft day. One happened before the actual pick. The other happened after they selected O.J. Mayo out of USC and then traded with the Memphis Grizzlies for Kevin Love. And if you go back and look at that trade, really the weirdest trade where you see tons of NBA players who are already playing in the NBA packaged around two top five picks, and the two top five picks are really the only players that did anything the rest of their careers. Obviously, Kevin Love, the better player and the steal for the Minnesota Timberwolves right there, but it's a toss-up between that and getting Jimmy Butler, and I'm leaning Jimmy Butler right now. I know it's only been a year. Maybe it's a little too quick of a reaction. Kevin Love was really good for a lot of years on the Timberwolves, but for Kevin Love, it really seemed like a bad team, good stats kind of guy, whereas Jimmy Butler, I really feel like he's going to be the thing that changed the direction of the Timberwolves because he's such a culture guy and such a great locker room guy, such a great leader, and a guy who's going to change the way the team plays defense, and a guy who's going to help other younger players kind of learn how to play defense. And then on the offensive side, you can run everything through him, and you can play him with a ball-dominant point guard because he's fine playing off-ball on offense as well. It just really feels like it leans Jimmy Butler for me because I think that he's probably one of the best or the second best two-way player in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. You look at what Butler does well, and he's a premier scorer, but he's a shutdown defender as well. And just in work ethic and intensity on the court, he does channel a little Kevin Garnett with just how in tune to the game and how focused he is and how much he demands of his teammates. So that's kind of an interesting comparison that I just thought of here as we were going through. But if you look at the trade, we'll start off with the Kevin Love trade. That sent O.J. Mayo, Marco Jaric, Antoine Walker, and Greg Buckner to the Grizzlies for Kevin Love, Mike Miller, Brian Cardinal, and Jason Collins. So, like you said, there were a lot of players involved, but really not that many that ended up making much of a difference. Mayo was a good player for a couple of years as a starter. He then switched to more of a bench role, and he had some on the field or on the court issues with performance enhancing drug suspensions. And then ended up, I believe he was banned from the league for a full year and is eligible to be reinstated for the 2018-2019 season. So that's an interesting stay tuned. But you look at, I think you hit it right on the head with Kevin Love, a player who put up a whole lot of stats, but really never was a player who could single-handedly take over a game. He could score with the best of them and rebound with the best of them, but comparing him to Jimmy Butler, Butler had many games last year where he won the game both in scoring and also in making shutdown defensive plays as well. So I would definitely give the lean to Butler after what we saw happen with this Wolves team getting to 47 wins in his first season with the Wolves. The jury's still out as to whether or not Zach LaVine will be able to recover from his knee injury. Lauri Markkanen looks like he's going to be a good player for the Bulls, and also Chris Dunn kind of starting to find his game as well. But you look at all those three, would they have been enough to be able to get the Wolves to the same spot they were last year? I don't think so. Butler certainly made the difference, and I think that is a perfect exclamation point on the top three drafts in Wolves history.
Well, and if you're looking to a lot of the kind of the knock on the Timberwolves last year was did they give up too much, giving up the seventh pick and the Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. I mean, come on, people. Lauri Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine, none of those guys did I ever think last season, hey, this could be an MVP of the league. Jimmy Butler, if he doesn't get injured to finish out the season, might actually have a bunch of MVP votes to finish out the year. So just let's not be ridiculous. They got a steal of a player and to be able to still grab a pick at 17 in Justin Patton. It was a really good draft year for Minnesota last year, and hopefully they can continue on this season. Before we head out here, you already plugged an article, but Seth, what's going on your show, The Scoop?
Well, we're today talking a little World Cup. Yes, I'm branching out a little bit to kind of get an update on the World Cup. World Cup date, I'm calling it. But in addition to that, I will be giving kind of my expectations of what we will see in the draft tonight. And also, as I mentioned, the article on the Prowl that'll be dropping today. Just taking a look back at the good, the bad, and the weird for the Timberwolves throughout their draft history, including just taking a look at some spots. I found this weird. There are, and maybe it's not as weird, but there are several spots in the draft the Timberwolves have not ever drafted before. So you can find that out. You can see players that they've taken in previous drafts and plenty more dropping later today at On the Prowl.
Fantastic. Make sure to check out all that stuff. Get prepared for the draft the best way possible by grabbing all this content in the final few hours leading up to the NBA draft, which is going down tonight. We'll have plenty on recapping what happens there. So be on the lookout as well over the next 24 hours. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Seth, for jumping on the show, and thank you for tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.